If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of Psalms. We're going to, as I mentioned last week, we may do this, and so I'm going to do it. We're going to detour off of our topic we've been looking at over there as far as faith and fruit. Lord willing, we plan to come back to that next Sunday. But for this morning, as we celebrate this life and think about the family and just want to give words of encouragement and look at what the scripture says about the family and about our children. And I'm just going to hit you with some book of proverb missiles this morning. It's some of those one-shot missiles that we talk about often in the book of Proverbs. But we're going to start here in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, because when you begin to think about children, you begin to think about life and what that is and where it came from. We often go here to this passage in Psalms as David was writing about the Lord, and really, I guess, you know, we use fancy words like the omniscience of God, the all-knowingness of God. We think about the omnipotence of God, the all-powerful God that we serve today, and of course the omnipresence, and we think about God being everywhere at all times and all places. Well, this chapter here in Psalms, I'm not going to read the whole chapter just because I got a lot of other verses to look at this morning as we look throughout Proverbs and other places as well with respect to our children. I'm going to keep this on the upswing as much as possible this morning, but when we think about our current situation, we think about our current day and we see much confusion that's in the land with dealing with families, dealing with children, dealing with how we are to raise our children, and even, you know, so much added pressure has been placed upon our children that was never really meant to be so, right? There's things that we've put on our children today that, quite honestly, they're just not able to handle. They're not able to bear. That we've put loads upon them, and you can see it in their faces, and so, you know, when we look around us and we see the confusion that's in the land and the corruption of the family and the destruction of the family, you know, it's good, as Dad has already said here this morning, you know, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which tells me what? Well, it tells me one thing, that where we live and where we sit is different than where the world sits. Amen? Amen. What we stand for and what we base our truth on, where truth comes from, is from the Word of God. And so we're not looking to the world. We're not looking to the, you know, the current hand-waving situation that might be out there. We're not going to face, you know, we're not going to deal with our issues just by trying to be PC, if you will, or I forgot. I was supposed to dismiss the children. I'm sorry. Are they gone already? All right, they're gone. Shell's looking at me like you messed it up again. I'm sorry. Well, if you got kids and you want them to go downstairs, now's the time to go. It's not too late. But so back to my point. You know, we're not looking at the world for wisdom. You know, someone asked the question one time: Is the world a friend of God? Is the world a friend of the church? And quite honestly, we can see that divide that's grown so deep and deep and deeper that has always been there, but, you know, sometimes it just seems more in your face than others. And so right now, as we look at our text here in Psalm 69 or 139, we're going to start with verse number 13. It says there, this is David speaking of God, speaking of the Creator. And he says this, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Now, when we think about reins, we're talking about the internals, if you will. We're talking about the very creation of David. We're talking about not only of him, but us this morning as well. We would probably use a different word than reigns, but yet that's how it's described in the Old Testament scripture when it thinks about reigns. I don't mean to, you know, get too graphic this morning, but it's talking about kidneys. We don't often talk about kidneys. We'd probably say something like our heart or our inward being or something, but David's just talking about how that God has possessed or that he had created their reins. Amen. He had created their innermost parts. He says, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb," or or God, you've knit me together. You know, get that picture in your mind, if you will. You've knit me together. It's almost like you see someone that's creating this thing. I've never been much into knitting, never tried, and I don't think Shell really has either, as far as I remember. You ever tried to knit? No, she hasn't tried to knit. I've seen that done, but it just means just taking something and creating something. I'm just not very creative, I guess, is the thing. I can take what somebody else did and make it and fix it sometime, but I'm just not very creative. I'll just go ahead and admit that this morning. But yet we're serving a God that is a creator. And so David is saying these words, Lord, you've created me. You've knit me together. And then he says, you've possessed my reins or created them. He says, I will praise thee. And here it is. You ever heard this verse before? I will give you praise, Lord. I will lift you up, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. We need to communicate that to our children, don't we? As much as ever, we need our children to understand that they were created, that they were knit together, that they were made by a loving God. He says you've been fearfully, or maybe we could think about a word, or carefully, intricately made. You know, something, when you think about something that's been fearfully made, you might think about something that close attention was paid for it. It wasn't just some random act, but it was something that God made. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. By a loving God. He doesn't stop there. He goes on. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Or I'm convinced of this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, Lord, you've seen my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You see the words of a creator, right? You see the word of someone that takes something and makes something out of it. Amen. That's what we need to communicate to our children this morning. That they are not some random act of some primordial ooze that creeped into a mud puddle some millions of years ago, and out comes this person. But yet you've been made by the hand of a living God. Amen. We want to bring that truth to our house. Bring that into our home. Amen. Communicate that to our children. Now, back in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, there was a basketball player by the name of Mekinte Mutombo. Anybody ever remember him? Mekinte Mutombo. He was known for his ability to guard the paint. He was known for his ability to block shots. And so if you're a basketball fan in any way, shape, or form, you'll know Mekinte Mutombo. And so what would happen when someone would bring the ball into the paint and try to score the bucket, there would stand Mekinte Mutombo, some close to 7 foot tall or even a little better. And he would stand there and he would jump and he would block that shot. And he was known for his ability to block that shot. But Mekinte Mutombo would not stop there. After he blocked that shot, he would look at the opposing player and he'd take it long finger and he'd wave it back and forth and he'd say what? Not in my house. He'd say, not in my house. What was he saying? He says, don't bring that weak stuff in here because I'm going to block it. Amen. I want to talk to our fathers this morning. Amen. I want to talk to those that God has put in a place of leadership, that those that God has put over their house. Now, I'm not saying this to be popular this morning, because there's some things that I may say that don't fit the current paradigm, but I've already stated the fact that we're not basing our truth on the current paradigm. We know that there is a created order, and we understand that God has placed the man over the house, that God has put him there as a protector. Amen. That there's things that of a created order that we've tried to do away with. But yet, I want to talk to our fathers this morning, and I want you to get the idea that you're the protector of the house. You're the Mekinte Mutombo of your home. And so there's going to be some times that you're going to have to stand up and block the trash that comes your way. And there's going to be a time when you're going to have to stand up against the enemies of our soul that comes against us and tries to infiltrate our homes. And you're going to have to smack that stuff away and wave your finger and say, not in my house. Amen? Not in my home. I'm not letting that stuff into my house, but I am the protector of my home. Why? Because God has placed in our hands this morning a treasure. Man, in the form of our children. Man, and it's up to us to raise them up. As Paul says in the Ephesians, he says, raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Man, it's up to us to raise up our children. Now, when we think about our children, what it is that they are to us, the scripture lays it out. If you look over here, we're in Psalm 139. So just skip over a few chapters into Psalms number 127 and look at verse number 3. It says, lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord. Amen. That child that keeps you up at night, that little baby that's crying, you got to feed it every 2 hours. And 2.5 hours, wherever you're at now. That's a heritage of the Lord. That word is heritage there. It means an inheritance. It speaks of something of great value. It speaks of something that, you know, when you think about an inheritance or you think about an heirloom, you think about something that is going to be passed down from one generation to the next. You know, you try to keep heirlooms in the family, don't you? You don't want those to get away from you. And so you treat them with great value. Maybe you put them in a secure place. Maybe you've got a lockbox somewhere in your home and you've got things that were handed down from your grandma to your mom and now it's come into your possession and you consider it of great value. Well, that's the word that's used here in the book of Psalms, chapter 127. Speaking of our children, it says they are an heritage of the Lord. They're a valuable possession. Something that God has given us. Look, where is it from? It's of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's how our children are described, as the fruit of the womb. I gotta be careful not to say fruit of the loom. Fruit of the womb. Right? Fruit of the womb. It's something that God has given to us. It's our reward this morning. A blessing of God. So our children, right? That one that's keeping you awake, that's one that's, you know, a little hard-headed at times. Our children are to be reckoned among the divine favors bestowed upon us of God. Man, they're a reward. They're to be protected. I mean, they're to be loved. They're to be cherished. They're to be defended. They're valuable. I could go throughout the scripture this morning and we could look at many ways that the children are described. It talks about, as we've already read here, they are the fruit of the womb. It talks about them being that of wages or a gift from God that's been appointed to us. If you remember in the book of Genesis, in the first few chapters there, when we go back and look at the created order, and when God had, or the Bible speaks about how that Adam knew Eve and she brought forth a son, and she speaks about this son as being appointed her of God, or a gift given from God. Our children are gifts from God. Where are they from? They're from God. Amen. God is our creator. And so we speak that to our children. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a gift given us from God. We're not saying that just to build them up and give them some, you know, positive, you know, attitude. And, you know, you're so awesome. I just know, you know, I'm not talking that stuff this morning. If you do that with your kids, fine. But I'm just talking about just the pure facts that the Bible lays it out, that our children are gifts from God. That the created order from the very beginning in the first few chapters of Genesis, God told him, he said, go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, you know, 50 years ago, this would have been well accepted and said, yeah, of course. Of course, you know, when we were having 5, 6, 7 kids, of course, they're a gift from God. But now in our current climate, when man is considered more of a blight upon our earth, when man are considered to be the problem, and I get that to a certain extent because obviously, you know, when with men comes problems. When I say men, I'm referring to men and women both, not just one side. You know, that and so, but yet the Bible tells us that we are to consider our children to be gifts from God. I read an article just a couple weeks ago in the New York Times, and the title of the article was China's Population Falls. And in the article, it talks about how that it was heralding the what they called the demographic crisis. And so what China is seeing now after many decades of a one-child policy that was put in place back in the 20th century and comes all the way into the 21st century, into this one-child policy where the Communist Party was telling them you can only have one kid, one child. No more than that, just one. Well, now, lo and behold, they've got a crisis. Why? Because they're going to get old before they get rich. This is a New York Times thing. Now, if you read anything in the New York Times that's even remotely considered to be positive toward the family, you can just take it and be amazed. But yet here it is. They can't deny this study that's come out where China's in trouble because they're going to get old before they get rich, and they're going to run out of people. You say, well, they got a billion of them. I get that. But they're old. And so this one-child policy, now they're going around where they used to say you can only have one child. And even in that one child, they preferred men or male children over female children. And so now they've got a population that's so off-kilter that they've got a lot more men than they do women. Now say what you want to about genetics. You can't have babies without women. I know that. I have a firm grasp for the obvious this morning. And so now they're going back to these women and saying, you need to have more children. We're throwing out the one-child policy. We need you to have multiple children. But it's not happening because this thing is so ingrained in their mind, they're thinking one child, one child, one child. And so if there's a pyramid, society should be like a pyramid where, you know, it gets younger, but when it gets like this, it gets lopsided, and the old and the young, it implodes. It doesn't last. That's what happens when man gets involved in God's work, right? Man, that's when we start saying we want this, don't want this one. Man, there's a created order, and so when we think about this one-child policy, no matter who put it in, it doesn't work. And so now when we no longer view children as a gift from God, but we view them as more of a nuisance, societies cannot flourish and they will not stand. All right, here comes some of those missiles your way. I'm going to start just throwing these at you. So let's go to the book of Proverbs this morning. And we'll bounce around here just a little bit, and I'll try not to speak too long on each one of them, but it's those verses that just stand to themselves, right? So go with me, if you will. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Start with verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. That was missile number one. Missile number two, Proverbs 27, verse number 11. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. We think about a wise heart. We think about when you think about wisdom and you think about a wise son, that makes the heart of the father glad, if you will. Proverbs 29, verse number 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Now, here's the one I'm really coming to appreciate. Proverbs 17, and 6 says this. Children's children. What's that? Yeah. Grandchildren. The reason you had kids, right? Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. A long line of ancestries, if you will, is the glory of their descendants. Amen. You see the value that's placed upon it? The purpose of our children, to bring joy and happiness, to bring contentment, to bring love, to our homes, or to be a place of safety, a haven, a place where we can be sure and confident. But unfortunately today our homes, as we look around, many of them live in heartbreak. They're even war zones, disaster areas, if you will. But that's where I'm speaking to our men. And I'm saying, not in my house. And I'm saying to us this morning that as Paul told the Ephesians over there in Ephesians chapter 6, as he was about to move into speaking about the armor of God and being able to stand against the wiles of the devil and to put on the whole armor of God that you can stand. And he talks about the wrestling not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He starts talking about the armor of God and having our loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith that you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Man, you say, how do I wave that finger and say, not in my house? Amen, fathers, because you are possessing the armor of God. See, before he gives all that, he tells them, he says, and ye fathers, he said in verse 6 and 4, and ye fathers, he's speaking to the fathers this morning, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture. Bring them up in the, if I can get this word out, the tutelage, the fancy word of meaning, teaching, right? Bring your children up in the teaching of the Lord. Man, Paul uses that same word when speaking to young Timothy over in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, speaking about the scripture that we have before us here this morning. And he says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Or if we could substitute the word he uses over in Ephesians 6, it's for nurturing. The same word he uses. It's for nurturing. The word of God is for instruction in righteousness. And doesn't that just continue throughout all of our lives, right? Amen. When we're taught by our fathers and we're instructed and we're aimed. I love that passage over there. Where is it? Is it Psalms? When it talks about children being as arrows in a quiver. I can't put my finger on the exact location of that verse, but it's okay. Children are like arrows in a quiver. I can't remember who. I think maybe it was, I heard Chuck Swindoll one time preaching about that. And he talked about how that, you know, arrows in a quiver, you have to take them out and you have to aim them at a target and to let the arrow go. And I've never forgotten that because I remember hearing that as a young parent, and I understood that it was my job to aim them at a target and make sure that they had a goal. Make sure that they had direction in their life. There's a lot of people today being raised without direction, aren't they? Man, there's a lot of children today that have been raised and they're not being aimed in any direction. They're just turned loose and saying, go, be free. The parents would rather be friends than they would be parents. They'd rather, you know, they don't want their kids to not like them or not think they're cool or, you know, David talked about one time, he says, once I was, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Man, he put them away. It's like, okay, it's time to put that away. Well, I'm treading lightly on that this morning. I want to get into some details in that, but I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave you young men's video games alone right now. I'm just going to, if you want to play video games, I'll just. There's sometimes you got to put childish things away and realize it's time to be a man. See, I said I was going to leave it alone. I didn't. I used to play them. I played Pitfall and Donkey Kong, Pac-Man. That's how old I am. I know y'all got that next level now, and I'll combat this and that and the other. And, you know, moderation, I guess. I'll give you that. Let me just give you moderation. Things in moderation. But let me do that with a warning. Be careful what we're bringing into our home. Amen? Be careful who you're letting into the paint. That's a basketball term. It just means that hot spot right there underneath the basket, right there in the lane where they shoot the free throws, right? And so I got to be, most of us probably know that, but I'm just going to make sure you understand, this is the paint, and I'm defending it, and the goal is behind me. And if something comes into my way, and I realize that thing is dangerous, I'm going to swat it out of the way and say, not in my house. Man, I can preach this morning because I've done that. I've said it out loud before. I can remember times I've been in my living room and I see things. I'll be like, nah. I've never preached this message before, but I've used this a long time. Not in my house. Amen. Be careful what we're allowing into our home. Dad, swat it. You can even wave your finger if it makes you feel better. Amen. Let me see, where's our dads at? Can you help me out here? Wave your finger. Not in my house. I see you. You're helping me here. I appreciate that. Stephen, you're being mighty shy back there. Come on. There you go. Not in my house. I'm going to watch what's coming through my door. I'm going to be careful what's putting on my TV. And I'm going to be careful that message that's being sent through every single commercial that's on TV right now. I'm going to be careful for that. I'm going to guard against that. I'm not going to let that in. I'm going to be careful what's coming in on my internet. I'm going to be careful what books are, you know, if we have books anymore. I've got quite a few, but, you know, magazines and different things like your tablet. How's that? Your iPad. Well, you know, the Bible says to, here Paul tells us, raise your children and nurture them, teach them, admonish them. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wow. So, you're not just giving out your ideas. Admonition speaks of a warning. With parenting, there's a lot of warnings, isn't it? You do that again. Man, I got to be careful. My dad's still in here this morning, so be careful of the examples I set. But I knew that when Dad said it was too late, it was too late. He said it but once. There was no arguing. Never. I'm going to stand here thinking real quickly. I don't think I ever argued with him. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. What does that mean? Is it when the word came out, there was no changing it? If it said you're going to get a spanking when you get home, the earth could have opened up and swallowed our car on the way back from Grotto's. But if we made it out of the hole, I was still getting it. Why? Because his word meant something. man, if I can quote Dave this morning, he's sitting here as he was in the food line or wherever you were, Walmart maybe, and he heard a girl sitting there and warning her kid for the 15th time, leave that alone or I'm going to do this. And finally, Dave got his stomach full. And he looked at her and he said, ma'am, I don't believe you. And he doesn't believe you. So could you please stop? We need to raise them up. We need to guard the paint this morning. Amen. Guard what comes into our home. There's a warning. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's correction that's involved there. There's a lot more missiles I want to look at this morning, but we're running low on time, and I want to try to finish a little early, but. One thing the scripture emphasizes to us, even throughout the Proverbs, is the fact that we need to start immediately in correcting our children. Matter of fact, there's one passage, I read it, I didn't write it down, I should have, and it says it this way, it's in the Proverbs, correct them while there's still hope. Wow. Is it that serious? It's that serious. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You know, I heard this a few times as a kid. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and time out will drive it far from them. And taking their smartphone will drive it far from them. Nah, it's it. You know it. The rod of correction will drive it far from them. That's as far as I'm going with that this morning. You know, why? Because you got to correct them while there's still hope. You got to correct them. I was listening to a video by Jordan Peterson this past week, and he's a psychologist from Canada. Some of you may know who he is. He's kind of been in the mainstream lately for a stand against the craziness that's in the world. And so anyway, he does these talks, and I was listening to one of them about raising children. And he's a psychologist, so, you know, take this for what it's worth, but if you listen to it, you can kind of get his gist for it. And he said this, he says, parents have small kids, you have little children for 4 to 5 years. You have 4 to 5 years to impact your child. Now, granted, you know, let's take it from a strictly natural approach here. But as he goes into explaining it, he says, you know, it's not so much that you don't have the ability to influence after those 4 to 5 years. What begins to happen is other factors are involved. Because if we haven't begun to train our children in those first 4 to 5 years to socialize or to be, you know, have control in themselves, control of their own emotions. If we haven't taught them that, then the other factors is frustration sets in. Frustration for the parents, frustration for the people that those kids come in contact with. And so there's that that comes into play. And so when I heard that 4 to 5 years, I'm like, wow, that's quick. Seems kind of fast to me. But then when he began to talk about the other things that come into play, I was like, that's what the Bible means. When he says, do it while there's hope. Do it early. Dave likes to use it early and often. Right? Be times. And so when we correct our children, and the foolishness is bound up, and we are to raise them up in the nurture and admonition. See, there's a warning for the dead. You know, he says, fathers, don't provoke your children into wrath. So this is a wisdom. We don't just go through willy-nilly and just hand-waving and just, you know. But there's wisdom involved. And we're, as we grow in the Lord, and I told you some of the promises that were given us throughout the scripture of those that raised their children, that had set a standard, live by a standard, and correct to that standard. That there are promises involved. Matter of fact, you know, there's many promises related to children and their parents later on. Matter of fact, I think it's in the chapter of Ephesians somewhere where Paul talks about children honoring your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He says 6:1, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is that promise? You remember that? Yeah. Man. He tells us that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live. Now, that's a promise of God. That if we honor our father and our mother, there is a promise connected with that honoring. I've said it here before. I learned that at an early age. When I disobeyed mom and dad, trouble came my way. So I learned quickly, wait a minute, it's a good idea to honor mom and dad. It's a good idea to be obedient because there's a promise that goes along with that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. All right, I'm not going to these passages. I'm going to run down through this quickly because I want you to hear it. If we don't raise our children in the nurture and admonition, if we don't correct them, if we don't guard them, if we allow things into our home, then just real quickly, and I'm not going to give you the scripture up since you can look for it on your own. Here's what the Bible says will follow. Grief to a mother. Rebellion toward the father. Sorrow to the family. The Bible speaks of disaster that can follow. It talks about disgrace to the parents. It talks about humiliation to the parents. A user of the parents. We could go on and on this morning. But the fact is, if we look around us today and we see how the world is saying we should be raising our children, it's not working. It's not working. Now, I'm not talking about just practical truth. We don't do something just because we say it's practical. We walk in it because it's the Word of God. We follow it because it's God-breathed, as we read over there in 2 Timothy. That Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Man, it's profitable. You know, the more they do studies and look at different families and look at different outcomes and all this, and these Harvard studies and different, and I read a few of them. I'm not going to share them with you this morning, but it seems like they all come back to the same thing. We need families. We need strong families. We need strong fathers. We need mothers. We need our children to be obedient, to honor. And even though they may not come out and say how they got there, I just kind of step back and say, you know what? This was written thousands of years ago, and we have it this morning. And so as we stand on God's word and we do it God's way, no matter how unpopular it may be, amen, I can assure you we can be, as we talked about already, we can have those strong families. We can have fathers that are standing up and say, not in my house. And I'm going to stand for God's word. I'm going to stand for the truth. And as we submit ourselves unto the Lord, because, you know, even, I guess it's the book of Hebrews that starts talking about our heavenly father and how that we were corrected of our earthly fathers. But then, you know, also our heavenly father loves us. And then he says this, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so chastening is a sign of love, isn't it? Correction is a sign that you really love. And your kids, I promise you, they will appreciate it. It might take them years, but they will at some point come back and say, thank you, mom and dad. They're not, you know, not tomorrow, but at some point they will. Amen. And so we stand upon the word of God today and thank God for his truth. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.